All right, you guys sent us a fascinating question this time. Really got us thinking, you know? It's about how Christians today relate to the Old Testament law. I mean, it's a question that has puzzled people for centuries.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge one.
It is, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it with a little help from this lecture by Dr. David L. Mathewson.
He's a great scholar, a real expert in New Testament theology.
Exactly. And we'll be diving deep into how key figures like Paul, James, even the book of Revelation approach this whole complex issue. So get ready for some surprising insights, maybe even some aha moments along the way.
Yeah, I think people might be surprised at the different perspectives out there.
Totally. And, you know, one of the first things that pops up is, well, this apparent conflict between James and Paul, right?
Right.
You've got James saying faith without works is dead. But then you have Paul, who seems to be all about justification by faith alone. How do we even start to reconcile these two?
Well, it's important to remember that both James and Paul, they were writing to specific communities, you know, facing specific issues.
Ah, so context matters.
Context matters a lot. It's like overhearing one side of a phone call. You need the whole picture to really understand what's going on.
Right, right.
So, for instance, in Galatians, Paul is battling this idea that Gentile Christians need to adopt all sorts of Jewish customs.
Like circumcision and all that.
Yeah, circumcision, dietary laws, the whole nine yards. He's basically saying, look, salvation comes through faith in Christ alone, not through, you know, ticking off boxes of rules.
So it's not about dishing the law entirely, but more about not making it this requirement for salvation.
Exactly. It's about understanding the purpose of the law, you see.
Okay, that makes sense. So then what about James?
Well, with James, we see him grappling with a different problem. He's challenging those who claim to have faith, but their lives don't reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all talk, but no action. Exactly. He's saying, if your faith doesn't change how you treat others, how you live your life, is it even real?
So it's not an either-or situation. It's more like true faith, genuine faith, it naturally leads to action, to a changed life.
Right. It's two sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating is how Martin Luther, with the whole Reformation emphasis on grace, you know, maybe led us to read the whole New Testament through this primarily Pauline lens.
Like we're missing part of the story.
Exactly. It's like listening to an orchestra, but only focusing on the violins. You miss the richness of the full symphony. James's letter, along with others, adds these crucial instruments to the symphony.
Makes sense. So recognizing that true faith is active, it's alive, it's not just some mental concept or a box to check.
Absolutely. It's about understanding that the debate isn't about faith or our works, but rather what does authentic faith and what does that look like in action?
Now, Dr. Mathewson doesn't stop there, right? He points out how this connection between faith and action, it echoes throughout other New Testament writings, too.
It does, yeah. A great example is 1 John. It's surprisingly straightforward in stating that knowing God is shown through obedience to his commands.
Oh, wow. So it's not beating around the bush.
Not at all. The author even questions if someone's faith is genuine if their actions don't line up with God's will.
That's pretty strong. So even in this letter, we see that theme of obedience being central to true faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it goes even further. Even Revelation, with all those apocalyptic visions and symbols, there's this emphasis on righteous deeds. The faithful are described as wearing fine linen, bright and clean. It's a powerful symbol for their righteous acts.
That is a strong image. Okay, so even in a book about the end times, we still see this consistent link between genuine faith and an active, transformed life. This is getting pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it brings us to, well, a really central mystery. What did Jesus himself say about the law? Because in Matthew 5:17, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." What did he mean by fulfillment? That's been a question for, well, since he said it.
It sounds almost like a riddle. So is Jesus just saying he perfectly obeyed the law? Or is there something more to it?
Well, Dr. Mathewson suggests that Jesus' fulfillment of the law goes way beyond just rule-keeping. It's about his whole life, his ministry, his teachings, all of it pointing back to and culminating in the law and the prophets.
Wow. So he's the missing piece of the puzzle, the one who brings the whole picture into focus.
Exactly. And to really grasp this idea of fulfillment, well, Dr. Mathewson points out how Matthew's gospel intentionally portrays Jesus's actions as fulfilling specific Old Testament prophecies. Like, think about his birth in Bethlehem, his flight to Egypt, his healing ministry.
Right. And those aren't just random good deeds. They echo and fulfill specific passages from the Old Testament.
Exactly. Right. Like, Matthew is saying, look, Jesus isn't just randomly doing good deeds. He's actively fulfilling God's plan, woven throughout the entire story of Scripture. It's incredible.
It is. It's like this huge tapestry where all the threads are coming together in Christ. And he's the focal point, the one who makes sense of it all.
Exactly.
Okay, so if Jesus fulfills the law, does that mean the Mosaic law itself, like the actual rules, are relevant for Christians today? Do we just toss them out?
That's the question Dr. Matthewson tackles head on. He dives into Paul's writings, especially in Galatians and Romans, where Paul really wrestles with the law's place in the Christian life.
Right, because Paul seems pretty clear that with Christ's arrival, the era of the Old Covenant with all those Mosaic laws, well, that's over.
Right, he does, yeah. In Galatians 3 and 4, he actually compares the law to a guardian or a tutor guiding us towards Christ. But once Christ has come, well, we don't need that guardian anymore. We're now under grace, not under law, as he puts it.
But Paul isn't saying just ditch all morality, do whatever you want.
Yeah, no, definitely not. It's more about clarifying that we're not bound by those specific regulations and rituals of the Mosaic law. The heart of it has been fulfilled.
That's an important distinction. So to understand this under law versus under grace thing, well, it might help to picture what being under the law actually meant back then.
It was a huge part of their lives. They lived with this constant awareness of the law's demands, always trying to perfectly follow all those intricate details in everything they did.
Sounds exhausting, like climbing a mountain with like a backpack full of rules.
Yeah, a great analogy. But then Paul comes along and says, hey, guess what? Christ climbed that mountain for you. He fulfilled the law perfectly. And through faith in him, you're united with him. You share in his victory.
So we're not scrapping the law entirely, but we're understanding it through a new lens, the lens of Christ's fulfillment.
Exactly. And that actually leads us to another really fascinating layer of this whole thing.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
Dr. Matthewson points out something really interesting. Even when Paul is emphasizing this freedom from the Mosaic law, you know, as a set of rules we have to follow, he still draws upon its moral teachings all throughout his letters.
Yeah, it's not like a clean break. There's this interesting tension there, right? Between continuity and discontinuity.
Exactly. It's both. For instance, like in Ephesians 6.2, when Paul tells children to obey their parents, well, he's quoting directly from the commandment to honor your father and mother, straight from the Old Testament law.
So it's like he's saying, hey, those core moral principles, those are still valid, right? They reflect God's character, and that hasn't changed.
Right. It's about recognizing the bigger story, God's redemptive plan, you know, understanding the historical context of the law and then seeing it all through Christ.
Okay, so we're not just like pulling random laws from Leviticus and saying, hey, everybody's got to follow these. We're trying to understand the heart of God behind those commands and figure out how those principles look in our world today.
Exactly. It's about wisdom and discernment, not just rigid rule following. Dr. Matthewson uses a great example, the gleaning laws, you know, where farmers had to leave part of their harvest for the poor to gather.
Right. And he makes the point that, well, most of us aren't farmers today, but that principle, that still applies. It's about caring for the vulnerable, making sure everyone has what they need.
Right on. So maybe we're not leaving grain in a field, but we can find ways to embody that same spirit of generosity and compassion. You know,
it makes the Old Testament law come alive in a whole new way. It's not just some ancient rule book. It's a source of wisdom for, wow, for navigating life, really.
And remember, Dr. Matthewson emphasizes that according to Paul, the real source of our obedience, it's not external rules, it's the Holy Spirit, that transformative power working within us.
Right. It's not about gritting our teeth and trying to be like good enough. It's about surrendering to the Holy Spirit, letting him change our hearts and empower us to actually live in line with God's will.
It's the beauty of the new covenant. The law is no longer this external set of rules we struggle to keep. It's written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who helps us live it out from the inside out.
Okay. That is a game changer. It totally shifts our whole perspective on obedience. It's not about drudgery. It's about aligning our hearts with God's.
That's it. And this idea of the Spirit's work, that's key to understanding this seeming paradox, you know?
Yeah.
We're free from the law, but called to a transformed life.
Right. I'm starting to see how it all connects. But practically speaking, what does this transformed life actually look like? How does living under grace play out in, like, our daily choices.
That's where it gets really exciting. It means approaching life not from fear, not from legalism, but from a place of freedom and love.
So instead of always asking, what's the bare minimum I can get away with? It's more like, how can I show my love for God in this situation? How can I reflect his character when I'm interacting with others?
Exactly. It's about an internal transformation that spills out into our actions. It's about the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
And those are qualities that, well, they flow naturally from a heart that's experienced God's grace. We don't have to force them.
Exactly. As we surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow his love to fill us, well, these qualities just blossom naturally.
This is so much more freeing and hopeful than just trying to earn our salvation by following all the rules perfectly, right?
It really is. It's about embracing both the continuity and the discontinuity of the law. Yes, Christ fulfills the law. But its wisdom and its moral principles, they still guide us as we try to live lives worthy of the grace we've received.
It's amazing how Dr. Mathewson weaves all these threads together. You know, Paul's emphasis on grace, James's call to action, Jesus' fulfillment of the law, the Holy Spirit's work. It's like he's creating this beautiful tapestry showing how all these seemingly contradictory ideas actually work together.
It's a complex picture for sure, but it gives us a much richer understanding of the Christian faith than any simple answer could ever do.
And it reminds us that studying scripture, well, it's a lifelong journey. It's not about finding all the answers, but about wrestling with these questions, trying to understand God's heart, and letting the Holy Spirit lead us deeper into truth.
That's the beauty of a deep dive, isn't it? Exploring those depths, wrestling with the complexity, embracing the mystery.
And speaking of embracing the mystery, I think it's time we tackle one of the most perplexing but also liberating ideas that Paul presents. This concept of no longer being under law, but under grace. What does that actually look like, feel like, and mean for our lives today?
Ah, that's a question that goes to the very heart of being a Christian. And I think it's one that you'll find both challenging and incredibly freeing as we explore it together.
So we're no longer under law, but under grace. I mean, it sounds great, but what does that actually look like in real life? You know, like when I'm trying to decide what to eat for lunch or dealing with that coworker who really gets under my skin.
That's the big question, right? How does this radical shift Paul talks about, how does it actually play out in our everyday lives? And it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking, well, if I don't have to follow all those rules anymore, does that mean I can just do whatever I want?
Yeah.
But as we've been talking about, that's not what Paul's getting at. Not at all.
Right. It can't just be a free-for-all. So how do we balance this incredible freedom we have in Christ with, you know, still living a moral life, a life that's in line with God's character?
I think it starts with understanding that the Mosaic Law, as a way to earn God's favor through, you know, perfectly following all the rules, well, that system has found its fulfillment in Christ. We don't have to be under that pressure anymore. We don't have to earn our salvation by, you know, meticulously obeying all those regulations.
Yeah.
But, and this is a big but, it doesn't mean we're off the hook when it comes to living a life that reflects God's holiness and righteousness.
Okay, so it's not a license to sin, but an invitation to live a different kind of life, a life empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Think of it this way. Under the law, it was like we were trying to climb this massive ladder to reach God, constantly striving and struggling, trying to reach his standards through our own effort. But under grace, well, God has reached down to us in Christ. He's lifted us up into this new relationship with him.
I love that picture. It's like we've been set free from that exhausting treadmill of trying to earn God's love. We already have it.
Exactly. And because of that incredible gift, a gift we don't deserve, our hearts, they naturally overflow with gratitude, with a desire to live in a way that honors him. It's not about fear or trying to get rewards. It's about love and joyful obedience.
A heart transformation, not just outward actions.
Yes. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Remember how Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
These aren't things we have to force, right? They flow from a heart that's been changed by God's grace.
Exactly. It's about letting the Holy Spirit do his transforming work in us. He shapes our desires. He empowers us to live out these beautiful qualities. And the more we surrender to his guidance, the more we let his love fill us, the more we'll see these fruits blossoming in our lives.
So practically, what does this look like? How do we actually live under grace every day?
It starts with a shift in perspective. Instead of living in fear and trying to follow all the rules perfectly, we can approach life from a place of freedom and love.
So instead of asking what's the bare minimum I can get away with, we ask, how can I show my love for God in this situation? How can I reflect his character in how I treat others?
You got it. It's about aligning our hearts with God's heart, letting his love motivate us, guide us. We're free from the burden of trying to earn his favor because we already have it.
It's incredibly freeing. It takes so much pressure off and lets us experience that joy and freedom that comes from, well, from being in a loving relationship with God. It's not about rigid rules anymore, but about a changed heart.
It is. And you know what? That changed heart, it actually lets us appreciate the wisdom and beauty of the Old Testament law in a whole new way. We can see how it reflects God's character, his desire for us to thrive. We can learn these timeless principles about justice, compassion, righteousness, principles that still matter today.
It's like we've been given this amazing gift of grace. And that grace empowers us to live lives that are both free and full of purpose.
And as we finish up our deep dive into this topic, that's the main thing I hope people take away. Embrace the freedom and grace you have in Christ. Don't get bogged down trying to earn God's love. Just rest in his love. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and watch how that transformation impacts your life.
Such a powerful message. As you think about everything we've explored today, ask yourself, how does understanding the Old Testament law help me appreciate the grace and freedom I have in Christ? Keep searching, keep asking questions, and you'll keep discovering new depths of truth and beauty in your faith. Until next time, keep diving deep.